This is the sound of change in South Florida, the sound of switching how electricity is made in our region. This was the demolition Saturday morning of a 60-year-old Florida Power and Light power plant in Palmetto Bay. Two 150-foot-tall smokestacks slowly falling back to earth. Two boilers with their steel exoskeletons crumbling along with them. This was the second FPL power plant to fall in as many months. Back in July, the half-century-old FPL Port Everglades plant was brought down. At least four FPL plants that used oil to generate electricity have been demolished in recent years. In their places, nuclear power plants and turbines burning more and more natural gas. Now, since 2007, demand for natural gas by Florida's electric utilities has jumped by 50%. 12% of the gas burned to generate electricity throughout the entire nation is burned right here in the Sunshine State, making us the number two state in the nation to use natural gas to make power. Florida Power and Light is leading this charge. We spoke with FPL President Eric Szilagyi on the Sunshine Economy about this move toward natural gas and the utility's nuclear plans.
Well, you know, Tom, actually, FPL started about a decade ago, weaning ourselves off of imported oil and shifting to domestic-made natural gas. We have, over the last basically 10, 11 years, gone from the utility in the country burning the most oil to burning almost no oil. I think this year we're at about 65,000 barrels of oil burned compared to 41 million barrels in 2001. That's a 99% reduction in oil. And of course, at today's oil prices at $104, $5 a barrel, that's a lot of savings for our customers. So it's a good way to save the customers a lot of money. And it's also a great way to help the environment. And then also importantly, Tom, for all of us, I think, as Americans, it's very important to wean ourselves off of that imported oil and not ship that money overseas to places that aren't as friendly to Americans as we'd like.
Yeah, there's a real economic interest here on price. There's a real environmental interest and a real diplomatic interest as well. But what drove this transition that this industry here in the Southeast has really undergone, especially over the past several years? You've seen a significant push by FPL and others, again, toward natural gas. Is this driven by the supply of natural gas and the price versus the supply and the price of crude oil?
Clearly, the prolific amounts of natural gas that have been discovered utilizing the shale play fracking, drilling using fracking technology in places like northern Texas and Oklahoma and Louisiana, even all the way up into Pennsylvania, that has made a big difference because it has expanded the supplies that are available in America for well over 100 years are the current predictions. And frankly, I think that's conservative given where technology is taking us. The price difference also makes a large difference in how you think about this. We've saved our customers in the last decade by switching off of oil to natural gas $5.5 billion because we also put in fuel efficient technology. So it's a combination of a lot of things. You know, we installed new technology that's a lot more fuel efficient. It produces the same amount of power, sipping a lot less fuel. That saved our customers $5.5 billion. And by making that switch, we moved to natural gas, which is also good for the environment.
When you talk about saving consumers $5.5 billion, is that a savings in how much higher prices would have been if FPL was still burning that crude oil lot from Venezuela to generate electricity?
No, actually, that $5.5 billion is a calculation of how much fuel we have not burned, and then multiplying that by the price at the time that we would have bought it.
So it's getting more power from natural gas, being able to burn that more efficiently compared to crude oil.
Right. The equivalent is like taking that 1960s Cadillac, which many of us think is beautiful in many respects, but not the most fuel efficient machine, and putting that one in the museum and instead pulling out a nice fuel efficient hybrid. And that's what we're doing with our power plants. We've torn down, just like we did at Port Everglades just a few weeks ago, a plant that served us well for half a century, but frankly wasn't the most fuel-efficient machine that we had. And so we tore it down. We're building a brand new $1.2 billion plant. That's 35% more fuel-efficient. That means we'll produce the same amount of electricity, burning 35% less fuel. We're also then taking that fuel and switching from oil to natural gas, domestically produced, a lot cheaper than oil. Of course, that could change. Oil can always come down. But, you know, what we've seen also is the political difficulties that are always seem to come out of the Middle East and also other places like Venezuela make oil, I think, a very difficult fuel to count on. And I'd much rather rely on America when it comes down to our fuel supplies, our customers' needs.
Eric, let's talk about the portfolio mix for the kinds of fuels that FPL relies on to generate electricity. A majority of that is natural gas today, isn't it?
A majority is natural gas. Like I said, for the last decade now, we've been switching from oil to natural gas. Of course, we still have a large component of our portfolio that's nuclear power, and we just finished two very large uprates, or those are expansions of our existing nuclear plant, Turkey Point, and then also our one in St. Lucie, where we're now producing an extra 522 megawatts of power out of those two plants. And that's helped on the fuel diversity for us as well. Very important part of our portfolio mix.
I got to ask you about Turkey Point, because as you know, there's been some consternation about the further expansion there over the next decade and expectations and FPL unable to kind of promise when the next expansion is going to come, despite collecting the dollars from consumers to help pay for it.
It's very important for consumers to understand that we're not collecting any money in advance. What we've done is we are paying for the license application that's required by the state as well as the federal government in order to have the option to build a plant at Turkey Point. What customers have paid for are two uprates that are completed and operating and saving customers hundreds of millions of dollars in fuel savings and, of course, producing more power now and producing zero emissions.
How much has it cost so far, and is that cost being borne by customers or by FPL?
Well, Tom, the costs are very expensive because the requirements are extraordinarily in-depth. We've spent about $211 million just filling out all of the necessary applications to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the state, going through the hearings, providing the engineering studies. That's money that we actually went out of pocket, and then we go to the commission every year and ask permission to actually recover that after we've spent that money from customers. So, you know, this is a process that we do every single year, and I'm proud of the company for doing exactly what we said we were going to do, and that is to only have the customers pay for what we deliver. The uprates, as an example, are done. They're operating. I'm very pleased with that. The bill on the customers in 2012 was $2.20 a month. We just went to the commission and asked that to be reduced. We're going down now to an estimated bill of 46 cents a month. So we've paid for those things. The customers have paid for those, and we're reducing the bill.
And the critics will point out, though, you're asking customers to pay for a licensing procedure that may or may not end with a license to build a nuclear reactor.
Well, you know, our goal, and I disagree, because what we're doing is everything we can to get the license issued by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. I mean, obviously, I can't guarantee with 100% certainty anything in this world, and the federal government, I can't guarantee exactly what they're going to do. But I know that we have met every single requirement that they have put on us. The team has done a tremendous job to do that. And what's very important for customers to know is that we're not asking for, nor does the law allow for us to charge customers in advance for the construction of the project. You know, the moment that we're out there turning dirt, we have to go out and borrow money like everybody else to build the plant, and customers don't pay for that until the plant comes online.
Any projection on when that license may be forthcoming if FPL continues to pursue it at Turkey Point?
You know, we're still waiting to hear from the federal government as to when that will take place. We filed all the paperwork several years ago. We've answered a multitude of questions. Of course, we also have local permits that have to be obtained, and Miami-Dade area as well, and that has been delayed. All of these delays, you know, add to the time, and ultimately, they also add to the expense. We would love to be able to move the process crisply forward, but many people do have questions. Many people do want to delay just for the sake of delay, and of course, you know, that ends up dragging the process down.
What percentage of the overall energy fuel comes from natural gas versus nuclear?
We're about 65-68%, I think, natural gas. We're just a little bit short of 20% on nuclear at this point.
And the rest filled up with a little bit of petroleum and the rest renewable energy?
We have renewable energy, and we also buy some electricity when it's available in the market, if it's cheaper to buy than it is to produce. So it's a mix of different things, including, of course, the 110 megawatts of solar that we built here in Florida that I'd like to do more of.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that investment. Is that beginning to pay off?
Absolutely. It's every day the sun comes up, we're able to take our foot off the gas at the Martin Solar Hybrid Energy Center. The plant out at DeSoto, which you recall, Tom, when we opened that plant, that was the nation's largest solar PV facility, is doing very well. And the one up at NASA is producing power every single day. So any time that we can use the sun to produce the electricity, that helps our customers. It makes sense. It's not a silver bullet, Tom. You know, this is, it's a technology that works great during the day and not so well at night, as you know.
Well, so, for obvious reasons, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something that I think makes sense for us to do more of. Prices are coming down and technology has actually gotten even better. We're building solar facilities. Our sister company, NextEra Energy Resources, are building massive solar facilities in other parts of the country. So we have a tremendous amount of expertise here. I'd like to do more. But it's got to be part of a portfolio, part of a smart mix, just like our financial portfolios, right? You and I's 401k hopefully is well diversified. That's the way I want our energy mix to be.
That's Eric Szilagyi, president of FPL, here on the Sunshine Economy. He told us that FPL can meet its customers' power demands for the next 5 or 6 years with its current fleet of power plants, which speaks to the future demand for power.